Blind Cool Tech, March 23rd, 2006. Greetings out there in Blind Cool Tech land. It's Jeremiah Rogers here, and wanted to do a podcast and just sort of talk a little about some of my own recent thoughts about technology and how it's the different ways that it is infusing itself into our lives and into our much more than our work. It's it's changing the way we work and the way we play, and certainly people on this list, perhaps as much as anybody, we see technology in lots of different facets and interact with it somewhat in ways, in the similar ways to the ways that other people do it, and sometimes in different ways, or even with a little more dependence on it at times. And because of that, and because of working in the technology field, I've found myself recently thinking about a couple of different things, and I wanted to share them with you, and perhaps maybe it'll elicit some feedback or some other podcasts to perhaps educate us all a little bit. I am recording this on my laptop using it's a Dell laptop, and it's using an Audio Technica ATR35 microphone and APH's Studio Recorder. I have been using Studio Recorder religiously for several, well, probably 2 or 3 months now, and boy, that's just a phenomenal piece of software. I love the way it works and the power that it brings as far as editing the files that I produce. So stellar job, APH, and I actually intend to pay the $200 here before too long, because those guys have doggone well earned it. And though I'm not using it for anything professionally, I am certainly reliant on it for all of the recording I do, such as this one. I don't have much intention of editing this file, other than I'll probably create a fade in and a fade out for it, but I don't plan to edit out a whole lot unless I do something silly like sneeze or cuss. But nonetheless, I absolutely love the software. The probably the main thought that got me thinking about doing this podcast was the idea of trying to decide whether or not I liked having multiple devices that did very different things but did them well, or whether I was more intrigued by the idea of having as few devices as I could that did as many things as possible. Recently, I had the opportunity to eat lunch with Mike May from the Sendero group, and we had some interesting conversation about devices and how much they could do, and how, in Mike's case, he was heavily using a cell phone that did many PDA-like functions, and also I think he used it an awful lot for his entertainment. So really out of that conversation came the thought process about, you know, the idea of only carrying, you know, one or two devices in one's pocket, and having a music player, a book reader, the ability to take notes, the ability to sync and read email, the ability to browse the web in at least some limited capacity. But it seemed like a lot of those things required a semi-cumbersome interface and a semi-cumbersome manner of doing things. And so I started thinking about whether or not I thought it was more advantageous to have just a couple of devices or to have a bunch of devices. Among the small items that I own a book port and own a DS2, a recorder. I have owned a couple of different MP3 players in the past. I own a Pacmate. I own, there was something else that I just forgot about. This laptop. And all of these things, a lot of times if I go anyplace, all of these devices go with me. And sometimes, of course, the Pacmate may or may not go. It seems kind of silly to have both a Pacmate and a laptop. And once in a while, I'll rely just on the book port for note-taking. But it doesn't take too long to fill up all the pockets on a pair of pants and to fill up the space available on one's belt. If you're like me, you got plenty of space available on that belt going around you. But comfort-wise, especially if you sit around a lot, like in the driving in the car or visiting folks, you don't want things on the back of your belt or even on the on some of the sort of the back sides of your belt, sort of the southeast and southwest parts of your belt, if you think of your body as the directionally. So it becomes a significant problem to carry all of those different devices. But they all do their jobs well. I think the BookPort is one of the most phenomenal devices I've used in a long, long time. And the fact that it reads various file types and also plays Audible files and MP3 files and is a handy little note taker is a tremendous reason to, or a tremendous set of reasons to throw it in my pocket or hang it on my belt. I've heard of some people hanging it on their shirts, which is a cool idea, but I wear t-shirts a lot and I'm afraid that the book port's going to go tumbling down from my t-shirt. So the book port takes up some significant real estate. And then the DS2, I got it much more for fun than anything, but I really love having it around because there's all sorts of neat opportunities to record neat stuff and perhaps turn it into podcast material or archival material for my own purposes. Sometimes I think of those recordings as a photo album. So, would it be better if the book port was a recorder and all those other things that it is? I don't know. It'd be one less thing to put in my pocket, but, I don't know that you'd want to try to build in all the neat functionality of DS2 into the book port. Or all of the neat functionality of BookPort into the DS2. So it's something that's really perplexed me for a while, and I sort of teeter back and forth on my own thoughts about what to do with that stuff. And then of course you add on to that the seemingly mandatory cell phone. I have one of the Verizon. I think it's an LG 4500 or something like that. They're a semi-accessible cell phone, and doesn't do much other than call people and receive their calls. So it doesn't serve much of a purpose, but it's small and it didn't cost very much. And what it does okay. But I don't know. It's just really difficult to imagine living and operating in that user environment all the time. It's extremely, it would seem to be extremely cumbersome. So the more I think about it, the more I like the idea of having these separate devices, but I don't care for the idea of having to port them all around. So it's a real, sometimes a real bother and, sometimes it makes me think maybe I should just want less. Maybe I should just want to do something other than have my cake and eat it too, so to speak. But that's not what this age of technology has got our culture and our minds thinking about doing. Another thing that I've found myself pondering a fair bit is this idea of small laptop versus PDA. noticed on Wednesday, March 22nd, GW Micro announced the product, and I believe it was called Smalltalk Ultra. Smalltalk Ultra. If I get that product wrong, sorry about that. I didn't look it up before I did the podcast. But that project has a pretty hefty price tag, about $2,800 before you add many accessories. I think you can, it can go down as low as $2,500 if you already own your own copy of Window Eyes, which is the screen reader for which they're most famous, and is an extremely good screen reader, I might add. But the Smalltalk Ultra, I have not seen one physically, but it sounded an awful lot like it was like a double-wide Braylon speak, more or less. The size of it seemed similar to a Braylon speak that was twice as deep front to back, or twice as I guess it's just twice as wide front to back. And those dimensions will be off just a little bit, but it's not that far off. So I think it had a 57 key keyboard, just for reference sake. If you want to check out more information, go to gwmicro.com/smalltalk to read about it. But it was I think it had a 1 gigahertz processor, and seemed like it was maybe half a gig of RAM and about a 30 gig hard drive. Had Bluetooth and wireless built in, and seemed like it also had FireWire built in, and then had an external cable of some sort that you could use to access one or more external USB ports, an Ethernet port, a couple other ports as well, maybe an external VGA port. But seemed like a rather small device, and a rather something that they've spent an awful lot of time and effort trying to get designed. But it seems at least in theory, as though the machine would be a little less easy to use, maybe even a lot less easy to use than one of the thin notebooks that most manufacturers have out now. I think Dell has their smallest one is called the X1 and is extremely small. I've seen and played with one of those. And it's a reasonably comfortable working environment. The laptop that I've got is a D400, which it's also made by Dell. Weighs less than 4 pounds and fits nicely and feels pretty rugged in your hand. And I've done an awful lot of work and an awful lot of play, if my employer happens to hear this, using that laptop. And so I'm not sure that I could find a way to justify $2,800 for something that would be a bit less useful, though admittedly somewhat smaller than a laptop that I could buy for $1,200 or $1,400 and then equip it with my own screen reader. Now, if that were my first screen reader purchase, then the purchase price admittedly goes up toward where GW Micro has priced this thing with their own screen reader included. I could get exactly what I wanted and also have a device that was tested with lots of people in a real practical working environment and has stood the test of time. This like I said, this D400 has served me extremely well, and I know I couldn't have done some of the things on the Smalltalk Ultra that I could on the D400. It's technically possible, but it doesn't sound like the Smalltalk, for instance, would be suitable for writing while flying for several hours. It would be cumbersome to try to type on such a small keyboard, the keyboard must be significantly small, because they send a small USB keyboard with it to be allow you, I guess, to do more strenuous data entry, much like what I was talking about. So I've found myself questioning sort of what market that product serves. What niche does that product meet, right, that's not already met out there in the market right now? And that's a tough question to ask because I like the folks up at GW Micro a lot, and they've done a significant amount of excellent work for this field. But the when I saw that they had a product coming out, I think I saw the announcement that they had a new product coming out in about a week ago, and I was immediately very excited to find out what those guys were going to do. You know, how were they going to impact our market by innovation again? And I was extremely disappointed when I heard that all it was an extremely small laptop whose operation seemed, at least in theory, to become a bit cumbersome. So I think that I think they missed the mark, and I think that it would have been neat to see what they could have done trying to bring a screen reader to a Windows mobile based environment or something of the sort. The idea of screen readers coming fast and furious to the PDAs is extremely intriguing and exciting, and I look forward, after CSUN is over, to hearing what the people that were out there that got to really play with the mobile speak offerings and the Dolphin offerings, see what the buzz is about those things, because it appears that our sighted peers are heavily moving toward a PDA / laptop / desktop working model for their vocations, and the idea of that to me is alluring, at least in so much as being able to stay connected to my work when I'm out and about. But then it circles right back to where I started in this podcast. You know, if I had a PDA, it may or may not replace my cell phone, but it would certainly be larger than my cell phone, and ultimately would create more pocket clutter, more pocket traffic, if you will. So it's definitely something that is on my mind, and I hope we'll ultimately generate a little bit of discussion over the next few days in these podcasts. If you want to contact me, you can email me at jzr@intrex.net. That's jzr@intrex.net. I presently am not subscribed to the Blind Cool Tech mailing list, so if anybody has comments that you're not going to do on the podcast, then by all means send them to me, CC me on the emails, if you will, because the volume of messages on that list was just too much for me to try to deal with at the time. Thanks a lot to Larry, and congratulations on at least so far overcoming the ridiculousness that was the FTP attacks. I have kind of caught bits and pieces of that as I've listened to a few different podcasts. So congratulations to the BCT community for stepping up and getting that problem resolved and taken care of. Hope to hear from some of you soon, and thanks a lot for listening.